This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight we are studying the fourth dhikr. So the first one, Ayatul Kursi, we finished that. Al-Mu'awwidhat, that was the second one. The third one we did, Amsayna wa Amsal Mulku Lillah, and it's said once in the evening, and it's also said once in the morning with the words, Asbahna wa Asbahal Mulku Lillah. And today is the fourth one, and that is Sayyidul Istighfar. And the proof of Sayyidul Istighfar being a supplication of the morning and in the evening is the hadith that is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. This is narrated by Shaddad ibn Awsin radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayyidul istighfari an taqul, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, abu'u laka bi ni'matika alay, wa abu'u bi dhanbi, faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru al-dhunuba illa ant. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قالها من النهار موقنا بها فمات من يومه قبل أن يمسي فهو من أهل الجنة ومن قالها من الليل وهو موقن بها فمات قبل أن يصبح فهو من أهل الجنة. InshaAllah ta'ala, our lesson is going to be an explanation of all of this بإذن الله تعالى. سيد الاستغفار, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we're going to get to understand what this سيد means and استغفار means. But at the very beginning, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he began Kitab al-Da'awat with this hadith. Yani, what do we mean by this? Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he made a book. He compiled authentic ahadith in it. And it is referred to today as Sahih al-Bukhari. It has many chapters. It's made up of many chapters. One of the chapters in Sahih al-Bukhari is Kitab al-Da'awat, the chapter of supplications. In this chapter, obviously, he's going to put all the dua and the supplication of the day and the night that you're supposed to say. So he began Kitab al-Da'awat, and the first heading in Kitab al-Da'awat was Babu wa li kulli nabiyyin da'watun mustajaba. That was the first heading. It was speaking about how every prophet has one accepted dua. And of course, he mentioned the hadith in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would reserve and delay his accepted dua till the day of judgment so he can use it for his ummah. Then the second heading in Kitab al-Da'awat is Babu Afdalu or Afdali al-Istighfar, chapter in which he's going to discuss the best way of seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. And here, he mentioned Sayyidul Istighfar, this hadith that we just went through right now. And after this hadith, he'll put all the other ahadith of al-dhikr and al-du'a that you and I know about. The du'a of entering al-masjid, what to say when you sleep, what you say in the morning when you wake up, what you say in the evening, and so on. All the other du'a that we know is after this. Why? Why did he begin Kitab al-Da'awat with this du'a? This is here known as Sayyidul Istighfar, the best way of seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. We're learning from this is that before you make any dua, the importance of seeking forgiveness before making any dua, you need to realize that the greatest thing that stands between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, between you and the mercy and the blessings of Allah, are your sins. This is the greatest obstacles that stands between us and the mercy and the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقَ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ, that a person may be deprived, of sustenance and provision, rizq, because of his sins. So the sin stands as a big obstacle and a barrier between us and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For in order to receive Allah's mercy and blessing, you need to remove this obstacle, move it away. And the only way to remove it is by seeking forgiveness and asking Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you. And look, this same thing, subhanAllah, Imam al-Bukhari, There is wisdom in how he compiles his book and how he put the ahadith. What came before what and what came after what. Until this day, al-ulama rahimahumullah are studying the arrangement of the ahadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Until this day, they are studying this. And he didn't mention anything, he didn't explain anything. And subhanAllah, this is something, one of the things that have been explained as to why he put Sayyidul Istighfar at the very beginning of the chapter of dua. Telling us, before you make any dua, seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness of your sins. Move this obstacle, move this barrier between you and Allah so that the mercy and the blessing could reach you. And look, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach us the same thing for as-salat. In as-salat, when we say Allahu Akbar, we're going to read Surah Al-Fatiha. In Surah Al-Fatiha, there is a huge dua. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. But before asking Allah for guidance, before, one of dua al-istiftah, one of the dua that a believer should say after he says Allahu Akbar, and before reading Surah Al-Fatiha, one of them is, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayai, kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriqi wal-maghrib. Oh Allah, make a distance between me and sins in the same manner you have made a distance between the east and the west. And this is speaking about past sins, distance them, keep them away from me. And it is speaking about future sins, meaning if there's a future sin that I'll be tempted and desired to approach, keep it away from me. Keep me as far away I can be as possible from it, just like you have made a distance between the east and the west. And the east and the west don't come together. That's impossible. So keep me away from the sin. Make it impossible for me. And then he would go on in the same dua al-istiftah to say, Allahumma naqqini min al-khataya kama yunaqqa al-thawbu al-abyadu min al-danas. Oh Allah, cleanse me and purify me from all the sins in the same manner white clothing is purified from dirt that is on it. This is the first, the Allahu Akbar, and you're saying this. You're saying words that would seek Allah's forgiveness from all your sins and wrongdoings and shortcomings. Then after this, you're going to read Surah Al-Fatiha, and within there you're going to say, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Fa'idhan, you see how important al-istighfar is before making a dua. And this is exactly what Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah did. And better than this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us al-istighfar first, before asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your prayer of Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim and other dua that you're making, or that you're making throughout the prayer. You need to have this attitude. Today, a lot of people, when they possess worldly matter, they have this attitude of, I don't want a speck of dust on it. Clean the phone, or clean his cars, his house. And that's good, because cleanliness is a part of Iman. But more importantly, you're supposed to observe the state of the heart and make sure that is clean and cleansed and purified from a shirk and sins, minor and major, and from heedlessness, and from so many other things. This is supposed to be number one priority. This is why Sayyidul Istighfar is once in the morning, once in the evening, so that you can keep asking Allah Azza wa Jal to cleanse your heart from the sins. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give us the best wording ever to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And how beautiful is that? To know that the best words in which you can say to seek forgiveness are found in Adhkar al-Sabahi wal-Masa'. Beautiful. This dua here is going to teach us the importance of istighfar. That's what it's going to essentially teach us. The importance of istighfar. Many people make dua, but they forget to seek Allah's forgiveness before their dua. This should be alongside the praise of Allah. As you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you send your prayers and blessings upon the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you follow that up with istighfar, and then you request and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is so important, seeking forgiveness is so important, that every single prophet that Allah azza wa jal sent to mankind, this prophet would command the people four things. Number one, at-tawheed. He will call them to the oneness of Allah. Number two, every prophet would command his people bittaqwa, that they observe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments and keep away from the prohibitions. This is essentially what at-taqwa is. to be mindful and aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet would also command that the people follow the Prophet, follow me, or follow the Prophet that is going to come after me. He would command them this. Every single Prophet did these. And one more, which every single Prophet commanded his people, and that is seeking forgiveness. Every single Prophet commanded his people to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Well, istighfar is what neglected the majority of times concerning these four things. The people know at Tawheed and they are aware of this matter. وَتَقْوَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, it's always spoken about. وَاتِّبَاعَ الرُّسُلُ, following the Prophet and follow your messenger, follow the Sunnah. لَكِنَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ, this is among the four, goes always neglected. For this is why it needs to be understood that this is was a message of every single Prophet to his people. الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ. وَاللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, he said in Surah Ibrahim, قَالَتْ رُسُلُهُمْ, all the Prophets, they would say to the people, أَفِي اللَّهِ شَكُّمْ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَدْعُوكُمْ لِيَغْفِرَ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ. He's a dalil. يَدْعُوكُمْ, they would come to their people and say that Allah invites you. He's calling you people that He wants to forgive your sins. So seek His forgiveness. Nuh alayhi salam, he said to his people, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Hud alayhi salam, he would say, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. وصالح عليه السلام, he would come to his people and say, لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah azza wa jal would say to him, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. وشعيب عليه السلام, the same thing. وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا, he said to his people, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. Huge meanings in al-istighfar. Wallah, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the most hopeful ayah in the Quran was about Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness in Surah Az-Zumar, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. This was Allah's address, not to mankind, to the most rebellious of mankind. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Imagine that. This was a specific address to the worst of the worst among us. It was an address to him. Yani not people that are upon obedience and worship, most definitely they included in the ayah. But imagine, the guy that has lost all hope in Allah and has committed every sin you can think of, there is an ayah addressing him. Allah Azza wa Jalla would say, يَا عِبَادِي, and Allah Azza wa Jal would ascribe him to himself. You're still my slave. There is love, there is mercy, there is compassion in this. There is an invite from Allah to this person. Who is he? الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have committed crime after crime and transgressed upon themselves. أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, meaning there's nothing else of the sins to do. He's done everything. He's finished all the sins that you can think about. He's done them. This is أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That person, Allah would say, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not give up hope in the mercy of Allah. Because if you do that, that's another major sin as well that will be added to your account. That's the only thing you have. You're supposed to hang on to this. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not give up hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why? What's the inspiration? What will make me believe this? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Because verily, it is only Allah who can forgive all the sins. جَمِيعًا, with the exception of none. We're speaking about major shirk and minor shirk and major sins and minor sins and bid'ah and everything. Everything is cleared up. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. How is this the case? إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Because He is Al-Ghafoor. He is the one who is all forgiving. Ar-Rahim, and He forgives, and His forgiveness is out of His mercy. This is why it was ended with Ar-Rahim. He forgives out of mercy, out of compassion, out of kindness and love for His servant that returns to Him. There is only love from Allah to this servant if he wants Allah's mercy, if he comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you see how big al-istighfar is. It was so huge that al-ulama would say the most hopeful ayah in the Quran is calling the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, طُوبَى لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا. Authentic hadith. طُوبَى. طُوبَى العلماء رحمهم الله, they either say طُوبَى is the paradise itself, meaning paradise be for this person, or طُوبَى is a tree in the paradise, could be a tree for this person, or it could mean al-ajru al-azim, or huge reward for this person. For who? لِمَنْ وَجَدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ إِسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا. For the one who finds in his record on the Day of Judgment an abundance of istighfar. He finds his record filled with astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And especially Sayyidul Istighfar, which is the best words to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and this is a hadith Qudsi, so Allah would say it when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paraphrases it. He said, this is Allah saying, يا ابن آدم لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك على ما كان منك ولا أبالي. Allah عز وجل, he addresses all the son of Adam. So you can understand, this is al-kafir wal-mu'min, everyone included in this address. يا ابن آدم, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. Before Allah عز وجل told us about his forgiveness, He wanted to create the image in your mind of how bad and terrible your state concerning sins could be. So he said, even if it was the case that your sins have reached anan as-sama, meaning the clouds that are in the sky, if this is how many sins you have, imagine an entire earth full with sins up until the clouds. And this is like the really, really high clouds. And you filled every inch of this space of sins. You filled it all. If that was the case, let's say if that was the case, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي, you sought my forgiveness. You came to my forgiveness and said, أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. What is the result? غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. I would most definitely forgive you. And I do not care. I do not care. I will forgive you. But the only condition was that you want it. You want to seek it. And so this is why Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa', the most important one of them you'll find in here, from the important ones, is seeking Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness. So that you do not water down this matter. This is a huge matter in the life of a Muslim. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrated, and this hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallah, he took an oath by this fact. You see how he wants to teach us the importance that he took an oath by it. He said, Wallahi inni la astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi fil yawmi akthara min sab'ina marra. He said, I swear by Allah, I seek Allah's forgiveness and I repent to him more than 70 times a day. And in other narrations, 100 times. Not only this, but Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu would say, that when we would sit in the gathering with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would count for him 100 times saying, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is in one gathering of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is Ibn Umar paying close attention. He's going to start counting. How many times would the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Astaghfirullah, in a gathering of knowledge? In a gathering in where Allah is remembered. Imagine then how much more istighfar there is in other than the gatherings of knowledge. This is only in a gathering. And as you're sitting here, repeat astaghfirullah. You say it from time to time. Say astaghfirullah as we're speaking. And this is the believer's case, and istighfar should be with him every single moment of his life. That he would count 100 istighfar in one lesson. Allahu Akbar. And you know, probably we can say that the ultimate and the greatest virtue of seeking Allah Azza wa Jalla's forgiveness is that Allah loves those who seek His forgiveness and repent and turn to Him. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He loves those who repent and He loves those who purify themselves. Purification, He doesn't only mean wudu and ghusl. More important than this is the purification of the heart and the soul, cleansing it from the sins, and nothing will wash them away other than al-istighfar. فَإِذَا, this is the greatest virtue. The greatest virtue for al-istighfar, that a person earned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. You see, with that, there is no excuse for anyone to say there's no room for me. There's no activity I can do in which I earn Allah's love. Wrong. Each and every single one of us has an activity. Even if it was for you to just stick to al-istighfar and recognize its importance, and you commit to this all your life, perhaps from this door, you earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and pleasure. For we must never, ever be heedless concerning al-istighfar throughout our life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. But the idea in the hadith is, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ لَزِمَ تَلَازُمْ, meaning the one who committed and attached himself to seeking forgiveness, the one who was steadfast upon forgiveness, meaning him and seeking forgiveness were really close friends. They were stuck to each other. This is lazima. They were stuck to each other. Wherever you go, in your bed there's istighfar. When you wake up there's istighfar. When you go into your car there's istighfar. In the morning, in the evening, in the masjid, wherever you are, there is istighfar. This is what lazima al-istighfar means. What's the result? Three things. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. Allah Azza wa Jal would make for him an escape from every tight and difficult situation. There is no situation that will be closed upon you except that you'll find some door will open. Somehow Allah Azza wa Jal would open it. Why? Because of your istighfar. وَمِن كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا. And from every worry and concern that you have, Allah Azza wa Jal would give you relief. وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And he would provide for him in ways which he never ever assumed or calculated. Allahu Akbar. This is all the virtue and the goodness of al-istighfar. And from the many ways of committing to the istighfar, because the hadith said, lazima, committing, from the ways you ask, how do I commit to al-istighfar? Read Sayyidul Istighfar every morning and every evening. And bi-ithnillah, you are considered from those who are committed upon seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. My brothers and sisters in Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at the end of his life, he concluded his life with al-istighfar. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his last days, his head was on her back and he would repeat, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wa alhiqni bil rafiq al-a'la. He would say, oh Allah, forgive me. See, this is in his last moments. He's seeking Allah's forgiveness, ghfirli, warhamni, and bestow your mercy upon me, wa alhiqni bil rafiq al-a'la, and join me with al-rafiq al-a'la. Two meanings here. One could mean that it is the righteous of the prophets and the companions and so on that are in the paradise. Wal-rafiq al-a'la could be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, because from his names is al-rafiq al-a'la. And these are the two names of Allah that he would continuously repeat as he is passing away. Now, my brothers and sisters in Islam, even after your death, when you can no longer seek forgiveness for yourself, the instruction for those around you was to seek forgiveness for you and nothing else, or from the things. But the main thing and the greatest thing was for them to seek forgiveness for you. And so this is why Salatul Janazah, Allahu Akbar, Surah Al-Fatiha, Allahu Akbar, Salat ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu. First dua you're making for the deceased person. Aslallah, actually, even when you get the message or you receive the call that such and such has died, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allahumma ghfir lahu warhamhu. Now that he cannot seek forgiveness for himself, those around him are told, seek forgiveness on his behalf. And that's the best dua you'll make for a deceased person. Continue to seek forgiveness on his behalf so that Allah Azza wa Jal forgives him. Subhanallah. So this is Sayyidul Istighfar. And I want you to just appreciate what it means. What it means to ask Allah Azza wa Jal forgiveness. And what reward there is in this. And what virtue there is in this. There is a huge highlight in this matter. And this is why I wanted to bring Sayyidul Istighfar earlier in the series, at the very beginning of the series, so we can understand what it means and begin to implement it, and being conscious and aware of the meanings of Sayyidul Istighfar when we're saying it in the morning and in the evening. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that hadith of Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu, he said, Sayyidul Istighfar, أن تقول. And then he said the ذكر. But he said سيد الاستغفار. سيد الاستغفار. It's the best and most virtuous way to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Why? Why was it called سيد الاستغفار? العلماء رحمهم الله, they said, because it contains all the conditions and all the etiquette and manners required for an accepted tawbah. Everything that is required for a perfect and accepted tawbah is found in this dua. Therefore, it was called سيد الاستغفار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the conditions of a tawbah in order for a person's tawbah to be accepted. In Surah Ghafir, in Surah Taha, Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, I am a consistent forgiver. غَفَّار, perpetual, consistent forgiver. I will always forgive time after time after time, minute after minute after minute for the same person. So long as you can adhere to four things. لِمَنْ تَابَ, for anyone who returns back to Allah, returns to the commands of Allah, keeps away from the prohibitions, tab, he repents. He intends never ever to return to a sin. This is from the meaning of tab. Wa aman. And in addition to this, he believes in arkanul iman and in everything that Allah commanded. Aman. Wa amila salihan. And he performs the pillars of Islam and all the righteous deeds that we know about. Thumma ihtada. And then he commits to guidance and he remains steadfast upon the good. These four things and their meaning is found in Sayyidul Istighfar. Subhanallah. So whoever did this, these things, these four things, whoever recited Sayyidul Istighfar is forgiven of all his sins, all the past sins. And we said major or minor, even a shirk, Allah Azza wa Jal would remove it if a person was to seek his forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, for you'll find all the conditions and the meanings of a tawbah in Sayyidul Istighfar. Now, what is Sayyid? Sayyid, and what do we learn from this? What does it imply? What attitude does it create in a believer? You see, the word Sayyid means a master, a Sayyid, or a leader. Someone that's in authority and someone that is control, he's called a Sayyid. So they would say Sayyidul Qawm, the leader of the tribe. He's referred to as a Sayyid, the leader of the tribe. And Sayyid is the person who people would rush to when they are facing a pressing concern and they need urgent help. So if you're suffering an issue, you'll go to someone, he can't do anything for you. If the case is getting worse and worse and worse, and the calamity is becoming unbearable, people would run to a Sayyid. Go to the one in authority. Go to the one in control. Go to the master. See, maybe he can do something for your case. Even Sayyidul Istighfar. It was called Sayyidul Istighfar. Meaning as soon as you face trouble, as soon as you face calamities, as soon as you have any suffering and pain in life, run to Sayyidul Istighfar. Run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and use the word Sayyidul Istighfar. When there is trouble in the home, when there is trouble in your health, in your wealth, in your family, in your children, when there is trouble with your husband, with your wife, when there's trouble in your iman, rush to Sayyidul Istighfar. Rush to this dhikr and repeat it and repeat it over and over again. This dua, it became a Sayyid. It became a master of all the means of how we seek forgiveness to Allah. This tops the list. Why? Because there's so much acknowledgement in it. There is an acknowledgement that Allah is your Lord, and an acknowledgement that there is no Lord worthy of worship except Allah. And there is an acknowledgement that Allah is your creator. And there is an acknowledgement that you are the slave of Allah, and that you are committed upon His worship, and that you're seeking His protection from the evil that you have done. And there is an acknowledgement of all the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. And there is an acknowledgement of every single sin that you have committed against yourself. And then there is seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. And then there is an acknowledgement that no one forgives sins except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how beautiful this is. When all these acknowledgements were put in one dhikr, it was called Sayyidul Istighfar. All the meanings of our deen are found in this dhikr. And all the meanings of returning to Allah and all the conditions of turning back to Allah are found in Sayyidul Istighfar. Subhanallah. a Sayyid. It's the best and the greatest way to seek Allah's forgiveness. And subhanAllah, even though asking forgiveness is right at the end of this dhikr. Yani, where's the forgiveness part? It's at the end. فَغْفِرْلِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And before that, a whole heap of words. The istighfar is just a few words at the end. فَغْفِرْلِي, that's it. It was two words only. But you see, the idea is we are learning that the best way to seek Allah's forgiveness is not to seek it immediately. Don't seek it immediately. Rather, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself mentally. You're going to humble. This is what the dhikr is going to teach us. From when you've said the dhikr from the beginning until you reach faghfirli, by that time, you've relaxed, you've humbled yourself, you've recognized your weakness, you've acknowledged your sins, you know who you are, you know who your Lord is. Now say faghfirli, then it's accepted. Allahu Akbar. This is why Sayyidul Istighfar. And in order to attain the reward of seeing this dua, of seeing this dhikr, which is, of course, whoever dies, if you say it in the morning and you die that day, you enter the paradise. You say it at night and you die before the morning, you enter the paradise. In order to earn this reward, and of course we're going to elaborate on the reward when we get there, you must adhere to a condition that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself stated in the very same hadith, and that is muqinan biha. You're going to have to say every single part of this dua with absolute certainty and firm belief. This word muqinan biha, as a result, al ulama would say whoever said it without certainty, it will have little to no effect and no benefit upon him whatsoever. And certainty means every single word of it, you're supposed to be certain. Every single word. We're going to go through these phrases bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And also, not only certain with the words, but you also need to be certain about the reward. That the one who says it in the morning and dies before night time, he enters the paradise. And the one who says it at night and dies before the morning enters the paradise. You have to be certain about this reward as well. You can't be certain about the words and not the reward. Doesn't work. Certain about all of it. Allahu Akbar. You see this? What is this doing? What is this dhikr doing in the morning to the heart of a believer that is committed and seeing this dua? Allahu Akbar. إِذَنْ مُوْقِنًا بِهَا. Subhanallah. And this hadith of Sayyidul Istighfar was also narrated by An-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, in his book. He also has a book in where he compiled a hadith. But that narration over there, this Sayyidul Istighfar began with a few words that are not found in the narration of Al-Bukhari, which are very important. This is why I share them here. So if you have your notes, you write this down. The hadith there in An-Nasa'i, it began by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, تعلموا سيد الاستغفار. Learn سيد الاستغفار. And then he said what it is. So you see this word تعلموا. This is direct address and command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this ummah. تعلموا implies that you should memorize this dua. You should memorize it. And you should learn it as well. Learn its meanings. Which is bi-ithnillahi ta'ala what we're doing. This is what we want to do. Learn its meaning. Learn its wisdom. Learn its rulings. Learn everything that is in it. Every single word that's in it. And trust me, it's worth it. Because this, bi-ithnillah, you're either going to die in the morning or in the night. So if you said it in the morning or at the night time, this is guaranteed paradise for such a person. Learn its meaning, its wisdoms. You should seek the knowledge concerning this dua and then implement it during the day and the night. Because beneficial knowledge is the knowledge that you implement, not the knowledge that you store. Beneficial knowledge is that which a person implements in his day and in his night. فَإِذَنْ, this is something about an introduction about Sayyidul Istighfar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت. We begin with this dhikr. اللهم. اللهم, by consensus of al-ulama, it means Ya Allah. This is what اللهم means. But what has happened is that the Ya has been omitted. It's been removed and it was replaced with a meme at the end. So Allahumma is actually Allahu plus meem. Meem jama', the meem of collection, the plural meem. And this is why some ulama would say that it's not permissible to join between these two things by saying Ya Allahumma. You should not say Ya Allahumma, because Ya is replaced with the meem. And if you remove the meem, you'll say Ya Allah. And if you put the meem, you remove the Ya at the beginning, we remain with Allahumma. And the best of them would be to say Allahumma. And this is exactly how this dhikr was narrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you say Allahumma, you are calling Allah with all His names. Because Allah covers the name Allah. And the meme there, it's called the meme of plural. A plural of what? You're calling Allah through all His names. And there are a lot. Allahumma, O Allah, I call you with every single name that you have named yourself with. Powerful start to Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma, Anta, you. Anta Rabbi, you are my Lord. You see this Anta, you, it refers or it implies closeness. It implies closeness. The servant in the morning, as you're reading this dhikr, you are realizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness. You are feeling Allah azza wa jal's closeness. Allah azza wa jal is not far. In fact, this is a fact that Allah would mention in the Quran. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَى. إِذَنْ أَلَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ رَبِّي رَبِّي. You are my Lord. رَبِّي, it is covering Tawheed al-ilmi. Remember this? At-Tawheed al-ilmi from last lesson. What is At-Tawheed al-ilmi? The Tawheed of knowledge and belief, which is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, right? We spoke about this. So now here, there is an acknowledgement of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. There is an acknowledgement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord. And what does it mean that Allah is your Lord? What does it mean that Allah is your Rabbi? What does it mean that He is my Lord? This is what it means. It means He's the one who created me. And He's the one who owns me. And this was covered in last dhikr. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله. So الرب is the one who created you. When you say اللهم أنت ربي, meaning you are saying, Oh Allah, I acknowledge and I am most certain that you are the one who created me and you own me and you provide for me and you sustain me and you maintain all my affairs and you cause my life and you cause my death and you decree all my matters. This is Rabbi. This is Rabbi. This is what you're acknowledging when you say Allahumma anta Rabbi. And you're saying anta Rabbi, meaning you are my Lord. I have no Lord besides you. And Rabbi as well, we discussed al-Rububiyyah al-Ammah wal-Khassah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being your Rabb. There are two types here. There is Him being your Lord in a general sense. And that is that He created you, provides for you, sustains you, causes death, life, and looks after your affairs and maintains and decrees everything. That's the general Lordship. That's the general Rabbi upon you. And there is a specific meaning for Rabbi. And this, as you're saying, Allahumma anta Rabbi, a believer also intends and acknowledges this meaning. And the specific lordship of Allah upon the slave is that He doesn't only maintain his affairs, worldly affairs and that, more specifically, He maintains his Iman. A Rabb is the one who nurtures Iman in the heart of believers. And He sustains this Iman. And He grows and fosters this Iman in the heart of a believer. And He maintains the Iman of a believer. This is the special rububiyyah of Allah upon His slaves. And this is only given to a believer. So as you're saying, Allahumma anta Rabbi, you're acknowledging, oh Allah, you are the one who created me and provided for me and so on. And also you are the one who is nurturing my Iman at this very moment. It is only because of your permission that I am sitting down reading Sayyidul Istighfar. You recognize in the word Rabbi, it is telling you that you are not reading this dhikr and you are not committed upon your Iman and Islam. And you do not recognize the importance of this dhikr except because Allah Azza wa Jal has nurtured this in your heart. He's the one who's allowed this to penetrate in your heart and grow in your heart. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma anta Rabbi. La ilaha illa ant. There is no Lord worthy of worship except you. So now Tawheed al-Rububiyyah was covered. Now we're coming and covering Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Because we've said a million times now that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah leads to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. If you really believed that Allah is the one who created you and provided for you and sustained you and decrees all your matters, then why would you worship other than Him? You wouldn't. So the simple, logical conclusion would be to say, La ilaha illa ant. This is the relationship between the first part and the second part. Acknowledging the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal in His worship. No Lord worthy of worship except you. When you reach this word, La ilaha illa ant, in the morning and in the evening, when you reach this part of a dhikr, you realize, you stop and you realize that this entire universe, all of it and everything that is in it, was created because of La ilaha illa ant. All of it was created because of this word. The heavens, the earth, al-jinn, the angels, mankind, the mountains, the oceans, every single thing was created because of this word, La ilaha illallah. The hellfire was created because of La ilaha illallah. The paradise was created because of La ilaha illallah. And in the end, in the very end, people will be two groups. And they are divided based on La ilaha illallah. Those who accepted it and implemented it in their life, they are Ahlus Sa'adah, the people of happiness and success, people of the paradise. And those who rejected it and denounced it and turned away from it, they are Ahlul Shaqa, the people of sadness and misery. They are the people of the hellfire. Look at this. The entire world began because of La ilaha illallah, and it ends. And people become two parties, two groups, because of La ilaha illallah. Then what are we learning? When you come to Allahumma anta rabbi, La ilaha illa ant, you need to get your tawheed right. There is no room for mistake here. This is it. This is the only thing. This is the key to success and happiness and everything in life. And it is the key to happiness and success in the grave. And key and the key of success and happiness in the afterlife. You have to get it right. You know, there are a lot of things you do during the day and during the night. Of worldly matters, you might sometimes get right, sometimes you get wrong. You buy a car, you regret. You buy a phone, you regret. I wish I... Doesn't matter. All this doesn't matter. What you cannot afford to go wrong in is La ilaha illa ant. This is why there's a lot of emphasis on this. And I've told you the central message of the adhkar is La ilaha illallah. It is instilling the oneness of Allah in the heart. Therefore, every single day this must be revived. Every single day this must be renewed. Every single moment you have to speak and address to someone about the importance of a tawheed, then address it. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa an khalaqtani. Okay, now watch this. خلقتني وأنا عبدك. What's happening here is that something general was mentioned and now we're moving on to something more specific. يعني اللهم أنت ربي put underneath it خلقتني. لا إله إلا أنت underneath it وأنا عبدك. Right? So firstly, we said اللهم أنت ربي. You are my Lord. You created me, sustain, provide for me, cause my death, my life, decree all my affairs. That's the general rububiyyah. Now when you say khalaqtani, you are focusing on the attribute of Allah al-khalq, creation. You are focusing on the name of Allah al-khaliq. You understand? So we went from general, which is anta rabbi, but now in Sayyidul Istighfar, your mind is forced to specifically think and reflect over the name of Allah al-khaliq. خلقتني. Watch what this is going to do. This is going to bring you down like this. This is going to make you realize exactly who you are. And remember, we need this. You need to be squashed. You need to squash the arrogance. You need to bring the humility in your heart before you're going to say, فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. We're still not there. We've still got a long way to humble ourselves. So we're going to say, خلقتني. خلقتني. You created me. This is going to make you realize your weakness and your absolute need and desperate need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Khaliq. And we are still to this very moment attached to the name of Allah Al-Khaliq. Allah Azza wa Jal created us in the past. And he continues to create in us in the present and in the future. But look at this journey. Allah Azza wa Jal, he created you from a nutfah. When you say khalaqtani, think. Where did he come from? Inna khalaqna al-insana min nutfatin amshajin nabtaliyih. You were created from a nutfah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةٍ. And you see this nutfah, this sperm cell, even that Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Waqi'ah would say, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Allahu Akbar. Even that Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Waqi'ah would say, do you see that which you bring out? The sperm that comes out, do you see that? أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَ. Did you create it? Did you create one of them at least? أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Or is it us that we created? Even that Allah Azza wa Jal would establish his control and authority over mankind by seeing that little sperm cell that you can't even see in your eyes. You cannot even see it with your own eyes. I created it. They say, you have nothing in the sea whatsoever, nothing in the matter whatsoever. Out, your hands are out of everything. Everything belongs to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalaqtani. You need to say this word, khalaqtani, and understand where you came from. Then Allah Azza wa Jal would say, listen to this. This sperm cell, if it was put in a hand, it is so weak, so fragile, so susceptible to damage, irreparable damage if it was put on a hand. Gone, finished. That's why it needs to go from the man straight into the womb. No person can, if it's touched, it's destroyed, finished. خَلَقْتَنِي. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً. We made him a sperm cell, فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And it entered into a firm lodging, which is the womb. It went in there. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً. Focus on the word خَلَقْنَا. It's going to be repeated. Then we created the nutfah from the sperm cell. We created it into a clinging clot. A clinging clot, a blood, a piece of like blood. Blood, that's a clot, a blood clot. And it's hanging in the womb. This is the process of al-alaqah that Allah Azza wa Jal would refer to in Surah al-Alaq. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. And by the way, until this very day, we are still in that form of alaq. Alaq means to be suspended and hanging onto something, clinging onto something. Yes, physically, perhaps we passed that stage because we moved on from our mother's wombs and we're out in this world. But spiritually, we're still alaq to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are still attached to Allah azza wa jal. We are still in need of His mercy. We are still in need of His forgiveness. We are still in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every moment of your life. We haven't moved on. In the spiritual sense, we have not moved on from this stage of alaq. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا. Then we created and we changed this blood clot into mudra, into a lump of flesh. Now it's meat. ثُمَّ Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. And then this lump of flesh, Allah Azza wa Jal created it into a bone. It became a bone. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And then we dressed the bones with flesh. They were dressed. Where did it come from? Allah created it. All created by Allah. خَلَقْتَنِي. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. And then we made him into another creation altogether. Ulama rahimahumullah would say, this refers to the fact that now he has hair, he's a gender now, either male or female, and that he has now taken the shape of a human being. ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخر فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Allah deserves, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ, meaning Allah deserves all greatness and praise. أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Why? Because He's the best of creators. This is what He did for us in the past. But don't think that the name of Allah, Al-Khaliq, has ended when He came out of your mother. He continues to create. He still creates in you right now, until this very moment, non-stop. He creates millions and billions of cells in the body every single day. Every single day, 500 million skin cells. Allahu Akbar. And the nails, he's creating them for you. And the hair, he's creating it for you. And the bones that are being repaired in the body. And bone cells that are being created within the bone marrow and coming out. And every single day, 200 billion red blood cells being created inside the bone marrow and then makes its way out into the veins and the arteries of the human being. That's almost 2 to 3 million red blood cells created every second. Khalaqtani hasn't finished. He's still creating. Imagine one of these systems stopped. A person is in chaos. A person would eventually become ruined and dies. Khalaqtani. Subhanallah, we need to know the name of Allah, Al-Khaliq. You are being reminded of this every single morning and every afternoon. And not only this, Allah Azza wa Jal would say, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Not only any kind of creation, but in the best creation possible. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. He perfected and completed every single thing He created. Allahu Akbar. Why am I emphasizing on this meaning of خَلَقْتَنِي? I tell you why. Because we have a problem in today's modern society, and this of course affects the Muslims as well. We have a big problem, and that is too many men and far more women are feeling every single day insecure and worried because of how they look, because essentially of how they have been created, right? Nose, the eyes, the wrinkles, the I don't know what it is, I need to do some nose reshaping, and our eyelids, they're slanting down, and I need fillers, and why? Well, I'm feeling insecure about myself. I'm feeling depressed and worried. I don't look right, my nose doesn't look right. Can I do a surgery on this nose? Can I do a surgery on my eyelid, and so on? There's too much. People that know khalaqtani, people that read khalaqtani in the morning and in the evening with certainty, he's happy about how Allah Azza wa Jal created him. He doesn't have this insecurity and this worry. He doesn't worry about this. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani. This dhikr will give you confidence in how Allah Azza wa Jal has created you and in the shape and in the form that Allah Azza wa Jal has created you. At the end of the day, didn't Allah say, الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ. He perfected every single thing that He created. Subhanallah, this is the idea. Khalaqtani, khalaqtani. Didn't we say that? Adhkar al-sabah al-masa', we called this entire series shield. The word khalaqtani is being a shield. It is going to protect you from these insecurities and worries that a person has concerning his looks. And this is, of course, rampant among Muslim, among women. 90% of plastic surgery is done on women, and only a small percentage is done on men. And this is a serious problem. Wallahi, it is a serious problem. And this is why, yani, we need to understand. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one of the ahadith, he would say, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma kama ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. He would say, Alhamdulillah. He said, oh Allah, in the same manner you have perfected khalqi, in the same manner you have perfected my creation, then perfect for me my manners. That's what you're supposed to focus on. Perfect your manners. Go have a reshape of your manners. Instead of a reshape of the nose, reshape the manners. Come to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learn his manners, how to speak, how to deal with people, and adopt that in your life. But we need to learn that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach us to say, كَمَا أَحْسَنْتَ خَلْقِي. You're supposed to be thinking that I am perfect in the way Allah Azza wa Jal created me. And even because the problem arises in women more, in Surah An-Nur, listen to this. When Allah Azza wa Jal, He reveals to women concerning their bodies and them covering up, Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. He said what? وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. And then, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ. He did not say they should not expose their body except to whatever maharam or they're supposed to cover of their body. He said, cover of their beauty. He referred to the body of a woman as a beauty. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ. He referred to it. This is Allah saying to the woman that He created, this is a zina, this is a beauty, cover it up. And then we have influencers and rubbish in communities and around the world and on social media that would bring in this poison among the people to say, no, you can do this kind of surgery, it'll look better, this way would look better, this doesn't look good, actually this is what a normal shape sized nose would look like, and the breast would look like this, and this should look like this, and we have all sorts of chaos. The one who doesn't know khalaqtani will definitely fall in the traps of these evil people. So we need to be careful. Adhkar al-sabah al-masa', I am telling you, I haven't even finished. This is going to give you everything you need in your deen. Khalaqtani. Allah Azza wa Jal ahsanul khaliqeen, the best of those who created. Why? Look at this. When Allah created, He innovated. Al-badi'a. Meaning when He created from nothing. And He wasn't inspired by anything because nothing existed. Unlike people today. When people create something today, they are inspired by that which Allah created. But Allah created and wasn't inspired by anything around Him. He created initially from the beginning. He created by Himself. No assistance to Him or with Him whatsoever. And when He created from the first time round, it was perfect. الَّذِي أَحْسَنَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقًا. Look at the human being. He's been like this since Allah created him. No upgrades. No upgrades. There has been no upgrade to the liver of the human being since Allah created him. There has been absolutely no upgrade to the pixels in his eyes and how much he can see. No upgrade to how much he can hear. And no upgrade to his heart and to every single living cell that is in the body. No upgrade. Meanwhile, compare this to the people. The first plane that was created, it has upgraded hundreds of times up until this day. Mobile phones that were manufactured, it has been upgraded hundreds of times up until this day. Cars that were manufactured when they were first manufactured. It is, and every single moment, there is upgrade in that which mankind produces and manufactures. لكن الله عز وجل أحسن الخالقين خلقتني. From day one it was perfect and it never upgraded, subhanAllah. And this is the same body that would end up in the paradise because it's perfect. There's no need to change it. Other than Allah Azza wa Jal giving the people the size of Adam alayhi salam and the age of Isa alayhi salam according to some narrations. And that's it. This is the human being perfect from what Allah Azza wa Jal created him for from the beginning. So what's the insecurity from? What's the worry from? خلقتني. Instill these meanings in your heart so that you can embrace yourself for who you are. And that you say, Alhamdulillah, that you have perfected my creation. This is the word you're supposed to be saying. Like in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma kama ahsanta khalqi. Worry about your akhlaq, fahassin khuluqi. That's what needs to be reshaped and fixed. Naam, subhanAllah. فإذن, people up until this day continue to be amazed and are in awe of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. No one has ever gotten sick of that which Allah azza wa jal created. Unlike what humans manufacture, it outdates. It is on an expiry date. You throw it out, you buy something new. But look at what Allah created. People spend hours and hours looking at a scenic view. People spend money and time and effort just to travel to see what Allah has created, to see nature. They call it nature. We like to call it Sun'a Allah. I don't know, because maybe nature comes from the word natural and they're trying to give this meaning of they appeared naturally without a creator. I don't know, let's just say Sun'a Allah. People spend hours and hours just to sit and be marveled at Sun'a Allah and surprised and how beautiful it is. Meanwhile, if you went to some city and you took a hotel in the city and from your hotel room you only saw the skyline of that city, you'll get bored. How long can you see a skyline for? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then it's the same thing, it doesn't change. It's boring. But when you see what Allah Azza wa Jal has created in this beautiful scenic view, you'll spend hours and hours watching the ocean and its waves. You'll spend hours and hours looking at the sky and how the clouds are moving. You'll spend hours and hours observing the hills and the trees on the hills and the grass and how it's moving and the pattern of its moving with the winds. That's Allah's creation and how much tranquility and peace and comfort it brings a person. Imagine then when you read Allah's word, it's supposed to do the same and more. It's supposed to do the same and more, more peace, more tranquility into your reading His word now. Not only looking at His creation, you're reading His word, subhanAllah. And then come to Sayyidul Istighfar wal Adhkar. These are meanings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know. Allahu Akbar. Fa'idhan, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant khalaqtani. Why is Allah the creator? Why does He keep creating? He created us before and He continues to create with us. Why? So that we can realize Allahu Akbar. So that we can realize Allah is the greatest. So that we can embrace La ilaha illa ant. This is the entire purpose for why Allah Azza wa Jal would continue to show us what He is creating. And scientists up until this day are telling us what's happening inside and what's being created inside. All of this so you can be a step closer to La ilaha illa ant. And this is why the next part of the dhikr, wa ana abduk, I am your slave. That's the conclusion. Since you khalaqtani, I am your slave. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we are going to stop here. And on the flyer, I did mention that today would be the last lesson. But if you give me permission, inshaAllah ta'ala, I want to conduct a completion lesson tomorrow night to finish Sayyidul Istighfar. So we move Saturday to tomorrow, which is Wednesday night, to complete Sayyidul Istighfar bi-Ithnillah. We're coming towards the second half of it bi-Ithnillahi ta'ala. And there are some inspirational meanings here that I don't want to go overseas and leaving all this without being explained. What do you think? Tomorrow night, is it suitable? Bismillah. Tayyib. Bi-Ithnillahi ta'ala, we will have our lesson tomorrow night, inshallah, continuing Sayyidul Istighfar. And that would be the last of the adhkar that we share, because next week I will be traveling overseas, so we won't be here. I know we went through four, perhaps, subhanAllah, I miscalculated big time. I thought I will cover 24 of them, about 25 of them in the time that I had. But that didn't happen. But it's all right, it's good. Because even though you would like an explanation of all of them, let's take this as a tarbiyah program. As a program in where we're nurturing our iman. So what that means is, now, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, if Allah gives us life until tomorrow and we share the remaining dhikr, you'll have four. Ayat al-Kursi, al-Mu'awwidhat, Asbahna wa Asbah al-Mulku lillah, Sayyidul Istighfar. So until inshaAllah ta'ala the next time, in where I come and we'll do season two, complete some more, you stick onto these. Yani, even if you find the adhkar overwhelming and they're too long, 24, 25 of them, I can't sit there every day 20 minutes reading them. Half of them, I don't even understand what I'm reading. It makes sense and I understand where you're coming from. But something is better than nothing. And what I recommend is what we've already taken. If you're a person that is very slow in your adhkar al-sabah al-masa', or you're someone who hasn't even started, or you had no clue what this is, or you are on and off, or you find laziness in yourself, that's all acknowledged. We know all this. Everyone goes through a stage in terms of his commitment upon al-adhkar. But what I can suggest for you is, don't worry about all this. Focus now on at least these four that we have taken. Huge meanings in them. Your heart is active. You can reflect as you say. You can be certain and firm with what you're saying because you know what you're saying. And do them in the morning and do them in the evening. And continue to do this until inshallah ta'ala we come down again and we share some more. And then the some more we share, you can add them to these four until we finish this dhikr. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is what ad-deen is. It's not just like quickly a pill that you take one night and all of a sudden you wake up, mashallah, Imam al-Muslimin the next day. It doesn't happen in this manner. There needs to be nurturing. Slowly, slowly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya'ani al-Qur'an would come down over 23 years. And this is upon the best nation. People that understood the Qur'an and their eyes closed. Yet Allah would say it requires 23 years to come down. Imagine us. How many? We need double and triple these 23 years. Ya Allah. Fa'idhan, as a result, Ya'ani Alhamdulillah, we are pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal's decree that we only managed to get through by now 3.5. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we conclude this fourth one. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.